Hope in Exile.
How's everybody today? Was that not an amazing, just put the songs today, man, just tore me up, man. It connects me so much to God. And I love how Micah leads us, and he don't want any accolades for that. It's all glory to God. But one of the questions he asked today is, what's your why? Why, he asked us as a worship team, why are you here? Why are you coming to this stage to lead worship? What is it about God that draws you to him in a deep heart of worship? And I think that's a question we all need to ask ourselves. What is it you're here for? Or why are you here? You don't end a sentence with a preposition. Why are you here? And I'm sorry. Somebody caught that. Thank you, Connor. Appreciate that. But I'm serious. What is it that brings you out of your home this morning to go to a place of worship? And by the way, can we just welcome all the first-time guests today? We are glad you're here. Thank you for coming. I see you all over the place. And so many new people as well. And can we also welcome our online church? Hello, guys. We're glad you're here today. And it's nothing like being in the house, but I'm glad we're able to offer online worship for folks to be that can't be here. It is a great place for them to connect, whether they're sick or traveling or whatever it is that's going on. But your why matters. It's your heart. It's the heart of things that God is looking for. He's not looking for performance. He doesn't need you to come perform for him. And that's what kind of we talk about as a worship team. We're not up here to perform for you. We're not up here to perform for anybody. We're here to really honestly just praise and magnify the name of God. And today in this message, we're in a message series right now in 1 Peter. We're in chapter 3 today. And so when you came in today, you should have gotten a worship guide. And in that worship guide is a little notes page. If you care to take notes and fill in some blanks with us, you get those out. We'll start with that in just a moment. I do want to invite all the new people, please, if you have not done this before, please fill out a connection card. That does a few things. One thing it does, it lets us be able to connect with you. That's all that's about. We're not going to bother you or come smother you or bug you or whatever. We're not going to do any of that stuff. But we do want to connect. We want to know kind of what's going on in your life. And some of you who are seeking a place to be, we'd love for you to come and be a part of our church and see what God is doing here in this little segment of the kingdom. We're not the only church, and we're by far the perfect church. We're not that either. We're just a place that's trying to seek the Lord and move for him. If you fill that connection card, another thing that does for me personally, when I get those, as soon as I get them, I put them on my prayer list. And every day, I've been praying for people that were here 7 years ago for 7 years. I mean, literally, it's just crazy. And I look back at that list sometimes, and I see those names, and I wonder what happened or where they wound up going. I'm glad, hopefully, they found somewhere to worship if they didn't get to come here. And for those of you who came here, God bless you. I'm glad you're here. Are y'all glad to be a part of Discovery Church? Come on, y'all. It's a great place to be. It's a great place to be and really just to learn how to fall in love with Jesus. Can we welcome our youth back from Motion Conference? You'll notice them. They're all down here with their hands raised in the air, worshiping the Lord. They do that every week. But I'm telling you, when you come back from Motion, y'all, it's like something. There's something extra there, right? You know, I remember taking kids on retreats and youth conferences and coming back. And it's just, I'm so glad. This is an honor for me that you guys get to walk back into a church where Jesus is magnified. Because I've been in places where we'd come back from a youth conference where we were just like, woohoo, woo-hoo, and we'd come back to church. And it was just not fun. And I had teenagers ask me all the time, why is it we can't worship like that here? Why can't we bring that back here? And I said, well, you can, but people are going to look at you funny. And that's okay. So just bring it back. And sometimes they did. And so we're just glad that was able to happen this week. And so God bless you guys. And thanks to Brandon and Emily and all the Shaps that went and took care of the kids this weekend. And you, many of you, provided ways for some of them to go, and that's a blessing as well. We appreciate that so much. And so many things are happening right now. I want to say one thing about 21 Days of Prayer coming up. That begins a week from tomorrow. We'll be here every morning at 6 a.m. from 6 to 7, streaming Highlands Worship. Streaming their prayer services right here. And if you've never been a part of that and you're not a morning person, it might turn you into one. I used to not be a morning person. I still don't like it, but I do get up early most days. And getting here at 6 in the morning and spending an hour of time in that kind of centered prayer and worship and just praising God every day. It's amazing. And by the end of it, I'm like, man, where is this going? I don't want it to leave. Do that. And on Wednesday nights, beginning on the 7th, I believe, it's a week from this Wednesday, we will be having prayer services here. And if you've never been to one of our prayer services, you need to come and just enjoy. Turn everything off outside the world. Just come in here and just literally on your knees in quiet time. And we do corporate prayer. We have worship set. It's just a wonderful hour of time to come and spend together. So do come and be a part of those things. There's a word laid on my heart this week, and it's not a part of my message necessarily. It does plug in a little later on, but I think so many of you and me and all of us are looking for happiness. And this word that fell on my heart was that happiness is elusive. And that elusive word just means that it's easy come, easy go. Happiness can happen when you eat a good meal. Oh, I'm happy. Then you go on a diet, you go, oh, I'm not happy. And then you feel better because you went on the diet, and you say, oh, I'm happy. And then you gain a pound because you shouldn't eat what you ate the other day, and then you're not happy. And then somebody comes over that you like, and you go, oh, I'm happy again. And then somebody comes over you don't like, and you're like, what are you doing here? And you know, ebbs and flows. It ebbs and flows because happiness is determined by your circumstances. And there is no circumstance that could ever or should ever destroy your joy. There is no circumstance that comes along. And some of you have been through some hard stuff this last week. Miss Tammy spent a couple days in the hospital, and bless her, she's back today, and praise God for that. And those are times when you're just like, oh my goodness, where is this going? And so many people are hurting in so many different ways, and then in those moments, in those times, you begin to see, Therese is here, whether she's back today after going and grieving over her father-in-law. He was buried this past week over in California. And you go through these times and you just, what's happening? Why is this going on? But it never, it didn't steal your joy, did it, sis? I mean, it stole your heart. It stole your happiness for the moment. And you wished it hadn't happened. And you too, Tammy, and all the rest of us. Things you wished hadn't happened, but they happened. And in those moments and in those times, you're like, I don't feel good about this. This doesn't feel good. Some of you are struggling so many other different ways. But if you lose your joy, you've lost everything because your joy depends upon your loyalty and the lordship of Christ. And that joy cannot be taken from me. You can take my life. That's why Paul was such a crazy anomaly. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so he's like, if you cut my head off, I'll go see Jesus. If you leave me in this world, I'll just preach about Jesus because my whole life is about Jesus. And when you live that way, you should be the calmest person in the room. The least bent out of shape person around all the people that exist around you because of that joy. It doesn't mean we don't get upset and angry and all those things that are normal things that happen to us, but it does mean that in the midst of difficulty, we should be the people who are not threatened by whatever happens in this world. Have you ever wondered why something that is so awesome as the good news of Christ is so hated by so many people? As a believer, you just scratch your head and go, how in the world? And most of you have seen the Olympic opening of the Olympics and how they made fun of Christ and the Last Supper. And here's the interesting thing about Jesus. Christians are all like, let's do this. And I'm mad about it. I didn't like it. I didn't actually see it. I started watching a little bit later than it happened. But when I saw what did happen, it infuriated me in the moment. Because they desecrate the very thing our Lord came to do, really, is to give us a memory of salvation. But here's the interesting thing about Jesus. He would have invited every one of those people to his table. Some of you just got really uncomfortable. Because there's nobody, I don't care what you've done, what you're about to do. I don't care what's coming in your life or what has come in your life or what has happened. You cannot stop the Lord Jesus from loving you. God is love. That's his essence. That's all he knows how to do. And he chose you. He chose you. And you may scratch your head and wonder, why would he choose me? I'm not even choosable. I'm like the last person that needs to be on his team. I'm the last person that God needs to call. And he chose you. He chose me. Long before I got to where I am now as a pastor, he chose me to pastor. It took me a while to figure it out and find it out and to get in line with what he's called me to do. But it feels pretty good to be in my calling. And you should be feeling good about yours. And so no matter what you do, and I look across this room and see people who do lots of different things. You do it in the name of the Lord. You do it for him. You see, people are threatened by what they do not understand. People are threatened by that which they do not believe in. They're threatened by it. And when we mention the name of Jesus in a conversation, the conversation changes. You can't stop that from happening. That's the power of the name of Christ. It's the power of the word Jesus. You just say his name and everything changes. Not always for the good in that conversation, but it does change. Peter says in our text, now who will want to harm you if you're eager to do good? Well, the answer to that question is some people will. But he goes on to say, but even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Peter is admitting that there's times when people won't bother you for being. And I'll say this, as long as we're just nice little Christians and we do what's good for people and we help people, well, we give out groceries today, nobody comes through this line and says, I hate you people for giving me groceries. Now, they like it. They enjoy that. But I imagine a few of them challenged on their faith or in their actions or their beliefs or their behaviors and all of those things, that's when the threat comes. Well, let me let you in a little secret. Jesus is never going to leave you where you are. He will accept you as you are. He will bring you in as you are. And he will sanctify you, which is a process over time. But during that time, you have to be willing and I have to be willing to let him be the driver. He gets to be the driver. We drive none of this. You drive none of what happened today. Those guys in the back, they run the lyrics and do a great job. They don't drive anything. They're just using their talent to do what God called them to do to help all this kind of flow together. But it's not about us at all. It's about the Jesus that we serve. And so what happens when you do bump into some opposition or some problems? Point number one today in your notes is this, is we replace that worry with worship. He said just a moment ago in the text, do not worry when people do these kind of things to you. And he says here, instead, replace your worry with worship. He said, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And some of your translations, instead of the word worship, will put the word sanctify. Sanctify, that means to make something holy, something that's separated apart for a particular purpose. And some translations say revere Christ in your heart or honor Christ in your heart or exalt Christ in your heart. Simplified, what Peter is saying is making something holy and worthy of worship. That is what God does to us. Instead of worrying that you're being persecuted or ridiculed more for our culture and probably even theirs, if Jesus is Lord of our life, we're living separate apart from him and all that we're doing is serving him. And in those moments when there is a ridicule or a put down or a laugh at or whatever it is you're going through, and all of those things count, by the way. You don't have to be put in a dungeon in a foreign country serving the mission field to be persecuted for Christ. You can be laughed at school. You can be made fun of for believing in a God that they can't see or understand. All those things count. Don't discount the fact that you're struggling through something in the moment just because you don't have this. I've had people tell me, I don't even have a very good testimony to tell. Look, your testimony is that Jesus saved you. And that's all you need. That is our testimony. We don't worry, we worship. Have you ever noticed in your life the more that you lift your hands and lift your hearts or say these songs or say these words or Even if it's just you're in a tough mood and you put in worship music in the radio, whatever you do, whatever it is you do, when you begin to glorify God, it tends for me to de-emphasize all the problems in my life. Because that's truly my why, is that He is greater than anything in my life that can possibly give me anything in this world. And when He is Lord of our life, you're going to face some kind of trouble at some point. Didn't mean to not give you a pep talk today. I'm just going to tell you, if you're sincerely, for real, serving Jesus, it is going to cost you something. And if it hadn't cost you anything, it's likely you're probably not serving Him to the level He needs you to be serving. That's just as honest as I know how to be with it. You can come to church, you can coast through life, and you can never, ever have an opportunity to put yourself out there outside of your comfort zone to serve Jesus. You can do that until you die. But you're not going to live, truly live, until you decide that He's more important than anything else in the world. So how do we do that? Well, number two, we replace that fear with hope. We replace worry with worship, and replace any kind of fear that you might be, oh, no, I don't know if I can walk into that or not. Don't ask me to do that. I'll do this, but don't ask me to do that. It's going to cost me too much. See, you replace that kind of fear with hope. We live in such a way with our testimony solidly in Christ that when we face the world with such confidence and such confidence. I was trying to think of another word, but the word is confidence. You walk through life confident that even when you run into issues and run into problems and you live confidently for Christ, unbelievers will look at you and they will say, you are crazy. What is wrong with you? And all the fear mongers this whole year until after November 5th, it's just going to be this political talk and fear. What if this person? And what if that person? I don't like this person. You talk about it. It's okay to talk about it. It's okay to be involved with it. And I think you should go vote and all those things. But at the end of it all, we should not be worried about any of that stuff. Fretful and afraid, walking around like, oh no, if this happens. And I got my opinions and you got yours. But my opinion is that Jesus is going to rule and reign in my life. No matter what happens, no matter who's the principal of the school or the president of the states or king of the world, it doesn't matter because Jesus is Lord over it all. He is Lord over it all. Peter's assumptions in his words here in a moment are going to say, basically he's going to assume that you're living the kind of life that somebody's going to ask you a question about, how can you suffer with such peace in your life? How can you go through the pain you're going through and not be torn all to pieces about it all the time? And when that question comes, Peter says it like this. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, every time you see Bible hope, just put the word confidence there. It is a confident expectation. That's what the word literally means. And so this is hope as a believer. Always ready to explain it. Always be ready to tell somebody when they say, why are you so calm? Why aren't you upset? Well, here's why. Because I know who sits on the throne of my life. And he goes on to say, do this in a gentle, respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. So there's no pride involved with it. There's no arrogance involved with it. Like, I'm calm because I'm a Christian. That kind of stuff is making the world really want to puke. And they should. For us to brag on anything other than Jesus or put it on us, that's blasphemy. We live in such a way, he says, that your conscience is clean, free of worry that someone will find out that you're a hypocrite. Have you ever done something in your life? And I'm just looking around the room. I'm not going to, you know, because this is one of those questions that gets a little hairy if you look at somebody. Have you ever done something in your life? I look at me, okay, I'm all stunned. Have you ever done anything in your life and hidden it from everybody? For me, it's a yes. And the whole time I'm hiding it inside of me, it's like, oh my, it's trying to come out. God put a thing in us. I don't know what it is. It's this propensity to have to say something to somebody about what's going on in our life. It is. It's called confession, and he wants us to use that. He wants us to be healed, and so he put this thing inside of us that says that you don't have to tell me, you don't have to tell anybody, but you need to tell somebody what's going on in your life. And when you did, and for me, sometimes it was when I got caught is when I fessed up. Don't you feel just a little tinge of, man, I wish I'd have told somebody before I got caught? A little guilt because I should have said something before. And you wished you had, but you didn't. And now it just feels like you're fessing up because you're caught. Peter is saying to us, live your life so soaked up in the Lordship of Christ and your confidence in heaven and your hope on all of that stuff, on all of what Jesus has given us, do that and you'll keep your conscience clear. I love the Message paraphrase. Eugene Peterson writes it this way, keep a clear conscience before God so that when people throw mud at you, none of it will stick. They'll end up realizing that they're the ones that need a bath. That's what the confidence in Jesus does. And that's not an arrogant confidence. That's a confidence knowing where we are and who we are. Because people are going to want to steal your joy. And some of you are letting it happen. Don't do it. If you will stand firm in your heart and say to God every day, Lord, nobody's taking my faith in you. Nobody. Nothing. They can take my life. They can take my family. They can take my money. And in some senses, they can take our freedoms, but they cannot ever take my faith in Jesus. That's up to me. And when we evidence that in everyday life, people are going to want to know what we have. So we proclaim it. That's why we proclaim. So when we do proclaim that hope, there's some results. There are results of a proclaimed hope. I want you to get this. The results of a proclaimed hope. First of all, I just wrote in here that I didn't put this part in your notes. You can add these if you'd like. It just shuts the mouth of the naysayer. I mean, at some point, when you just stop fighting back and you just say, I'm going to stand for Jesus and I'm going to be the calm person in the room, people stop asking you stuff. I mean, they stop bothering. The naysayers hush. He says, then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Oh, it doesn't stop people from speaking against you, but they feel a little bit of shame for it because they actually see that you're a real person. Have you ever heard anybody say this? Oh, that guy really lives what he believes. Or you ever wondered about some big name celebrity of some kind? Are they really as nice as they seem like they are on TV? And then you hear a report that they really are. It makes you feel like, oh, that's great. I love to hear that. I love to hear that. So are we real people in the world? It creates a life so strong in Jesus that even in the face of suffering, we stand with him. Peter says it this way, remember, it's better to suffer for doing good than if that's what God wants. And by the way, sometimes God's okay with you suffering for doing good. This whole thing of, God, you shouldn't make me go through this because I'm a really good person. Wrong question. He goes on to say, suffering is going to be such a part of our lives. James says it this way, dear brothers and sisters, when trouble is in any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Thank you, Jesus, for considering me worthy to suffer because you weren't worthy to suffer for me and you suffered for me anyway. That's the substitute. That's the sacrifice. And somebody should have said amen right there. I will. Some preachers say, I'll amen myself. I had a guy tell me one day, he said, when we don't say amen, it means we're just thinking about what you said. Well, I'll take that, whatever it is. When I was in the Churches of Christ, we weren't ameners, we were head nodders. Mm-hmm. We couldn't say mm-hmm, but we would shake our head. Another whole story, another sermon for another time. So how do we have it? Have you ever wondered where your hope in Christ comes from? So I got mine from my parents. They told me about Jesus, and I said, well, that's good, but can't be there. Oh, a friend told me about him, and that's where my hope came from. I said, but it can't stay there. Pastor said, can't stay there. Here's where it is. Resurrection is the why of hope. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and he washed it white as snow. And Peter gives us this reminder that we have a risen, live, vibrant, as modern as tomorrow's news, Jesus. He knows it before it ever happens. He knows the end from the beginning. He is the omniscient one. He is the creator. He's the sustainer. He's the why. And resurrection made it happen. If you read 1 Peter, you've read it several weeks now with me, and I keep reading it over and over and over again, learning and listening, you're learning that this whole book is really about the authority of Jesus in our life. That's really the bottom line of all of it. And resurrection is the reason why he has authority. You see, the writers of the New Testament never lose sight of the fact that Jesus, God gave the perfect, his son, for the imperfect, Keith Davis. God gave the sinless for the sinful, and he did it through suffering. Hebrews 2:10 says he learned obedience through suffering. Jesus himself. And so if God allowed his son to suffer like he did, and God allowed his son to have some persecution in his life, who are we to think that we ought to get through this whole thing unscathed? We should expect and be honored that if someone's trying to knock me down, that I'm doing for Jesus, then I must be in the right place. I must be doing the right thing. Peter said Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. The word time there is not really in the original language. So really that verse says Jesus suffered for our sins once for all. Now you could put time, because what he's referring to is that if you go all the way back to Genesis where the original sin happened, and you go all the way forward to as many years as God's going to allow this world to last, all those things, Jesus paid for all of them. That's unfathomable to me, the kind of debt that I owe that I cannot pay. He did it for all. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you, that is sinners, people that come to him, safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but then he was raised to life in the spirit. In the spirit. And the good news in a nutshell is that you and I do not have to pay for our own sins. He already paid, and your acceptance of that is the best news you can possibly get on the whole planet. So resurrection is the key. Jesus is all authority in our life over all things, even the spirit world, and that's why it's important that the resurrection is what gave him the power to have that. Had he stayed in the grave, we wouldn't be serving him. He would have been just another dead prophet that came through and died, and they buried him. But he didn't. He didn't, y'all. He came up out of the grave. And because he came up out of the grave, he has all authority in everything. Philippians 2 says it this way: God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name that is above all other names. You can't name a name greater than Jesus. You can't name it. It's not out there. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Come on, man. To the glory of God the Father. When you say Jesus is Lord, that magnifies and glorifies the name of God, because that's why he sent him, is to die for our sins. And no matter where Jesus is, Jesus has all authority. I'm about to read a scripture to you. It's probably the most, at least for me, maybe the most confusing passage of scripture in all the Bible. And I'll just go ahead and tell you before I read it, I'm not explaining it to you today. You know why I'm not explaining it to you today? Because I don't know what it means. And I've read books, I've read commentaries, I've read all these things on what he's about to say, but I do have a clue on why he said what he did. Because he just gave me a clue. It's because of the resurrection of Christ. And so Jesus' resurrection makes him Lord of all time, space, everything that has existed or ever will exist. Jesus is Lord of. If they find life on planet whatever, It has to bow to the name of Jesus because he created it all. That's the kind of name that we serve when we say Jesus. And the Bible says, so he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Those who disobeyed God long ago, when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat. Super mysterious passage. And some people believe these spirits are angels that had sex with men and they created the Nephilim. And so Jesus went back, and as he was in the grave between Sunday or between Friday and Sunday, he was before he resurrected, he went back in time and he went through and told all those angels, I'm victorious. I don't know. Some people believe he went back and spoke to the people that were living that died in the flood to give them a second chance. Could be. I don't know. And I appreciate it if anybody, when this is over today, would send me an article, a link, something to explain all that to me. But I do believe I understand why Peter put it in here. Because he goes on to say that here's the Jesus has all authority. And if he has all authority over those spirits, whatever they were, then he has authority over you. And he has authority over me. And he has authority over the people that don't even claim his name yet. He has authority over them. They just have to receive that and let that happen. Baptism itself, water baptism, is connected to this whole thing of resurrection. Without resurrection, baptism is just a dunking in water. He says only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. And that water is a picture of baptism that now saves you, he says. Not by removing the dirt from your body, but, and here's the point of it, a response to God from a clean conscience. And he says it's effective. Baptism is only effective because of the resurrection of Christ. Can you imagine how many baptisms I would do if we didn't have a resurrection in the process? I now baptize you. That's where it stays. There is no resurrection. Oh, he's not breathing? Okay, bring me the next one. That line wouldn't last. And you say, well, that's kind of a ridiculous thing. It's not a ridiculous thing. Because what we do in this pool back here, many of you have gone through that process, and some of you haven't, and I think you should. I think it's a necessity to walk through this because Jesus said do it, because it's obedience to him, and Peter says it saves. There's all these processes that's going on, but how does any of this work? It doesn't work without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the only way it works. So we do bring him up out of the water. Romans says when you do that, you go through a newness of life. There's this letting go of that old person, and the new person comes. And it only means something because of the resurrection of Christ. His authority makes it a powerful symbol. A powerful symbol for what happens inside of us when we believe. And he ends this text, and I want to end my message today with this passage. Will you stand with me when I read this last passage, please? Peter says, now Christ has gone to heaven. One of the reasons he went there is to prepare a place for us. Another whole subject, right? I can't wait. I'm a little tired of the fight myself, y'all. Let's be honest with you. I'm a little weary fighting this constant battle of this world and going to bed more nights than not concerned. Now, I have the inner peace and I have the joy. You can't take that from me, but I'm also human. But he says Christ has gone there, and he's what? It says he's seated in the place of honor next to God. And all angels, authorities, and powers. Look what it says. Everybody say accept. All of those powers, all of those angels, all of those authorities, whatever they are, that have bowed the knee to Jesus and given their heart to Jesus, accept the fact that his name is above every other name and that his name is Lord. The question is, have you accepted that? You may have gone through some processes and some things in your life, but you've just stopped letting Jesus be the Lord of your life. I think someone said he's a gentleman. He's not going to shove himself in your face. He's not going to run over you to take. He's a gentleman. Well, somebody said that. It bothered me a little bit. I don't know. I just like, is he really? But he really is. He's not going to force his will on you. Because he wants you to willingly give your life up to him. Lord over your problem. He's Lord over your pain. And even if the pain doesn't go away, he's still Lord over it. He's Lord over your relationships, and if he's not, he should be. And if he's not, you need to make him there. If you're not married and the person you're dating is not have him as their Lord, they need to have him as their Lord before you marry them. They need to know where their priorities are and where yours are. It's hard enough being in Christ, but you make it so hard when you yoke yourself together with somebody who doesn't believe. Are your friends loyal to him? Are they Lord over him? I'm not talking about the people you're trying to influence. I'm talking about the people who are influencing you. The people who are in your life, the closest friends to you, is he Lord of their life? Parents, is he Lord of your life? Children, is he Lord of your life? Is he the authority in everything? Because this word accept means that you and I have to accept his authority. And you're in one of two places. You're either accepting it or denying it. There's no in between. I'm not trying to pressure you. Maybe I'm trying to push you over the point of you've been for so long and you just need somebody to go, eh. But it's time. And you may never have one more opportunity to do this after today. I don't know. Prayer team is, if you guys go ahead and take your places, some of you already have. Can I ask you a question today? How many of you would boldly in this moment say in front of everybody that's around you that I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life today because he hasn't been? Thank you, John. Thank you, sis, back here. Thank you, sis. Thank you, right here, brother. Come on, thank you, sis. It's 5-6 people. Can we just say praise God for that? Crying because I know some of your stories. I know some of your struggles. And Jesus just wants to take them off your shoulders, man. He just wants to let him carry it. Don't go back and get it. So, Father God, thank you for these who proclaim today that they want to give you their heart. They want to accept as Lord that Jesus, that you are Lord. We honor you. We praise you for that, Father. God, today, reach into the hearts of these people. Be strong there, Father. Help them in their weakness to know that they can't be strong without you. You've paid the price that you've sacrificed for them, and you are there for them always. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us, and God, we're just going to expect that. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in this room today to come and fill us up with who you are. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, so much. We honor you. Through Christ, I pray. Now, for anybody else in the room, anytime we're playing this music, if you want to step out, for those of you who are our guests, this is our prayer team standing around. These are people that are willing and ready to pray over you. Maybe there's some things in your life you need to be forgiven over. Maybe there's some things you need to be praying about in your own heart. And as people make their way, you make your way. We're going to sing this song. We're going to sing this song. You guys know it well. We sang it earlier, but Jesus paid it all so you wouldn't have to. So give it up to Him. Give it up to Him in His name.
Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. For sin had left a crimson stain. He washed.
As we're singing, don't miss an opportunity to pray with somebody. Come on.
Jesus,
step out. Paid it. Step out. That's why we're here. If you're online, go to our website. Click the Connect tab. Send a prayer request in. I'll be praying for you. Our prayer team will be praying for you. Come on.
Sin after sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it.
Y'all give Him a praise right there. Come on. He's worthy. He's all worthy. He is all worthy. What a blessing you guys have been to me today, and I hope to you. And just, we're so honored to have so many of you here today that are new. Please stay around. Let us get to know you a little better. We'd love that. And if you have a mind to serve and want to help us serve groceries, stay around for a little while. See what happens with Serve Day. If you filled out a connection card earlier, please put those in the on the back wall. There's a couple little boxes back there. By the way, church, you guys know that it's time to tithe and offer as you leave. If you haven't already, many of you do that online. You can do that in several different ways. But if you want to give check or cash, you can put those in the box back there as you leave this morning. It's been a blessing, hasn't it? I'm stalling because I don't want to leave it. It's just a little taste of heaven right here in this world. And I know some of y'all got to go find something to eat, so I'm going to let you go. Can I pray over you before I do? God, one more time, we just want to lift Your name today and praise You. Thank You for the time we've been able to spend together today as Your family. Bless all of those who are here, Father, today who are hurting. Thank You for the freedom that some have had in accepting You today. And I just pray, God, that You'll bless their life and bless them, Father, as they take next steps. And I just thank You so much for that. We love You and honor You in Jesus' name. Amen. And one more thing. I'm sorry. I feel like Columbo. If you don't know that, that's another whole thing. If you did Christ, if you did that today, please let us know that in some way so we can help you take next steps, not to bother you, whatever. There are next steps we would love to see you take and to step in this whole kingdom world of following Jesus. We love you. You guys take care.